This podcast is brought to you by Audible. Please visit audiblepodcast.com/GOT for your free audiobook download. Welcome to the Game of Thrones podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for Game of Thrones on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we are spinning the wheels back up for season 5.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Kaboom! Flip the switch, and we're hoping there's no repairs that need done before this thing will take off. But who knows? We're doing a season 5 preview. Talk about kind of where everybody is at.
We're doing 2 previews. This one...
One which I can't participate in.
Yeah. Is the non-spoiler section, just for the non-book readers. Next week...
This is the one you can't participate in.
Essentially. Nice little dichotomy there. Yep. The yin and the yang. Next week, we're going to do, same day on this Tuesday, we're going to do a spoiler section. And it turns out I did a call for feedback. In a stunning reversal of what's normally occurs, 95% of feedback was spoilery. So we got a pretty light in the way of feedback here. I don't know whether as the show rolls on, more and more people are just like, fuck it, I'm reading the books.
Probably, yeah.
Or only the people that are really involved when Game of Thrones are looking 2 weeks out.
That could be it too.
So, but now next week we'll have the spoiler cast. Mm-hmm. We also have kind of a change in our format this year. You know, last year we went full time on this gig and, you know, we enhanced things. We added the instant takes, mm-hmm. which we're going to continue doing this year. We also added the popular tinfoil section to the spoiler section where I talk about the latest crazy theory from Reddit and kind of illuminate it with text and all that stuff. The problem with that is that it took forever on a double podcast day. Like I worked sometimes till 7, 8 o'clock at night and then editing it and get it released. What I'm doing is I'm going to bust out the spoiler section into its own podcast.
Still on this feed.
It's still going to be on this feed, but I'll appropriately warn people like, you know, this is the spoiler only, don't, you know, and you'll have opportunity to shut it off and all that stuff. But that's going to give me an extra couple days to come up with that tinfoil. Mm-hmm. And you know, really work on the script and get do some things because like last year, there's a couple times when I had a less busy week that I tried to get like audio from the audiobooks instead of me reading passages. Yeah,
sounds like a good idea.
Get Roy Deutris to read that for us. He's a pro and he's awesome at it. But I just couldn't get all that editing done. This is going to give me the time to do that. And as a bonus, I'm going to release a video version of this. What I'm going to call the spoiler cast, where I'm going to take essentially the tinfoil section of the podcast, cut video and images from the wiki of Ice and Fire and from the DVD extras. If you've ever seen any of the DVDs or Blu-rays, you know that they have really beautiful like charcoal pencil illustrations of some of the mythology of Game of Thrones. I'm going to use those where appropriate with sound clips, with clips from the audiobooks. And turn that into like a 10-15 minute video for each week. It's an expanded release that on Thursday night for the premium members only. Mm-hmm. And then release the entire audio for everything in the spoiler cast that comes out Friday for everyone for free.
Cool.
Now, your ears might perk up. It's like, what's this premium stuff? If you haven't listened to us since last year, we actually have a new club bald move that Jim and I went in on club.baldmove.com. And for as low as $1 a month, you can sign up. And what you get is video versions of our podcast. We record them live in studio. So if you want to get the very freshest instant take, literally minutes after Game of Thrones is over, you can tune in and watch us record the podcast. Mm-hmm. Watch us record the full version of the podcast. You'll be access these spoilers, video extras, and a bunch of other stuff you can find out on club.baldmove.com. Ad-free feeds.
Sure.
That's cool. Who doesn't want that?
That's nice. Yeah, we've got
that's worth $1 a month,
right? We've got a loaded ad slate this year, so if you don't want to hear those,
yeah,
sign up for Club Bald Move.
But a caveat is I don't know if I'm actually going to be able to execute on a spoiler section every week because I just have no idea how long it's going to take. I'm going to do one of the ones from last year as a demo this next week.
Okay.
So that'll give me a good idea, but I reserve the right to say this is going to be an every third week kind of thing or whatever. Also, I'm very nervous about having a tinfoil theory for all 10 episodes because...
Fuck you, George.
If you'd have put a gun to my head, I would have bet my life that The Winds of Winter would have been out by now. And there would be tons of new theories and speculations. I only have about 4 or 5 that I have ideas for. If you'd like to have me cover a particular tinfoil theory or, you know, Valerian steel theory, I kind of do them both and call them all tinfoil. Send that in to GameOfThrones@baldmove.com because I could really use my hopper to be full on that stuff. But yeah, some cool changes, I think, for the better. More expanded, more detailed stuff for like the book knowledge thirsty people.
I'm still going to remain spoiler free, so you unfortunately are. I can't help you with any of this.
I know that's it's like a total solo act, which is the other reason why it sucks so hard. But yeah. But it's also one of the more fun things I did last year. So you know, cool. Doing more video stuff. I've kind of flexed my video editing muscles a little bit earlier this year, so hoping I could make something compelling for people.
Yeah, and streamline that process so it doesn't take you 15 hours
sure
every week. Here are the highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Our coverage of Hot D, Fire and Blood, and the 1980s Shogun miniseries continues, but then on Tuesday, for the first time in 35 years, we asked a question: who framed Roger Rabbit? Hop aboard the train to Toontown as we revisit this incredible blending of live action and animation to see if it still holds up all this time later.
Then on Wednesday, we get our first look at Blake Crouch's mind-bending sci-fi series, Dark Matter. The first two episodes drop simultaneously on Apple TV+, and we'll have a pair of podcasts quantumly linked ready for you to observe.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app.
Okay, why don't we start talking about where we left off last season?
I think it's a good idea, good refresher, kind of go around and see where we're at with all these characters.
Yeah, I went through and I rewatched season 4 before we did this.
Before we get to that, let's talk about some just broadly interesting things that I think book readers and non-book readers alike are interested in.
Okay, like what?
The fact that George R. R. Martin has confirmed that the series is going to overtake the books this very season. I know you don't have a dog in this fight, but I think everyone kind of has an opinion.
It seems like a problem to me, yeah.
And seeing him over the last 16 months or so, I feel like I've observed a man going through the 5 stages of grief. First, it was denial. No, there's no way. There's so much more material. I'm so far ahead. It's not going to happen. Then it was bargaining. Yeah. HBO will do 10 seasons or maybe a movie or some other way to put this off. And
I'll put out another book for you guys.
Yeah. Different book. Maybe I'll need 8 books. Essentially, he's come around to acceptance in the last month or so where he's just basically like,
yeah,
I'm not aware of any time in history that something like this has happened where the adaptation becomes the original material.
He's just trying to get in the Guinness Book of World Records.
But he seems like he does deny that one will be a betrayal of the other, or it's going to essentially ruin, you know, one thing will ruin the experience of the other. How do you feel as a show first person with the knowledge that this one of the reasons the show is so great is it has chosen to really adhere closely to the source material? How do you feel about the fact that we're going into uncharted territories with the double D's?
I'm certainly worried. I do have a lot of faith that they can make an excellent show, but all of that faith is based on
the material,
the stuff they've shown me already, which is based solely on the books.
Sure.
Coming up with new things. And even if Martin gives them, you know, an outline, a framework to work within, I still am slightly worried that it's not really Martin shaping the future of this series so much as it is the double D's. And I don't know that it's a bad thing, but it does worry me. It's not like I'm saying these guys can't handle the pressure.
Sure. This is the first year that Martin has not wrote an episode for Game of Thrones. So he's not in
the right. He didn't write anything?
No, he's the key. He's canceled almost everything to presumably finish the Winds of Winter.
Yeah, he needs to.
I would have been pissed if he had spent time in the writer's room and writing more up. I mean, it's kind of ballsy enough when he does these anthologies and The World of Ice and Fire and all this other crap.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like
even as a guy who has no investment in the books, because I'm never going to read them.
Yeah,
it worries me because the vision has been so singular around Martin that now spreading that out amongst other people is slightly scary.
Yeah, and it seems like just from a book reader perspective, looking at these trailers, I can already see way more deviations from plot and characterization than has ever occurred in probably all the other seasons combined. I mean, I have no idea what to break it down, but if like 25% of this is entirely new material or some different material, mm-hmm. that's certainly a much higher percentage than's happened years before. And then this is the last, like, there's some credible reports that says the Winds of Winter might not even be ready to like more of early 2017, which means the next season will be 100% new material. And that seems like a crazy world to live in.
Two or three books left that he says
he's got two more books. So he's got the Winds of Winter, and then supposedly the last one will be called A Dream of Spring.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know, man. It's scary at the best.
Yeah, so I just want to talk about that. Obviously, if you're a book reader, I'd love to hear what your opinions are on that as well. We can consider next week in the spoiler section. But I want to talk about that up front. Now we can kind of go through the overview of the material.
Okay, I think I'm going to start with my most beloved character, who's Tyrion. Tyrion and Varys have kind of teamed up at the end of this to some degree.
By necessity. Like, I don't necessarily think... I mean, do you think that Varys planned that, or it's like, oh, the bells are tolling? What did you do, you crazy, crazy imp man?
I thought he must have planned it. If it's just a coincidence that he runs up to the back entrance to the king's chamber, I don't know.
No, that, but do you think he planned on getting on the ship with Tyrion?
I feel like he did, I don't.
I felt like it was a reaction to, like, you know, he knew that he was going to let him out. He had no idea he was going to have the epic confrontation. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know about the epic confrontation, but I think I thought Varys was kind of in bed with Tyrion after the trial, where he's like, yes, unfortunately, I can't forget, or I do remember, or whatever, all his promises.
Well, there's like, I'll help you out of jail, and then there's, I have to flee for King's Landing for my life.
Sure. Maybe he wasn't actually going to get on that boat, but now that the king is dead, he kind of needs to. I'm not certain, but
any ideas of a destination?
I have no idea. So I've seen the previews where Tyrion basically gets poured out of this box, which says he's on the run. So it can't be somewhere where he would be recognized, I guess, which is a tall order considering who he is and what he looks like.
He's very visually distinctive. Sure.
Yes. It must be somewhere far away from... It's potentially outside of Westeros. I don't know what Westeros is. Is Westeros the main island?
Yeah, Westeros is the vaguely Great Britain-shaped island continent that most of the action
takes
place.
And then Essos is the other...
Essos is the landmass that's over
He could potentially be going that direction. Because he's got to get out of the vicinity of people who know him.
What do you think his role is going to be? Because, you know, Tyrion has always been kind of front and center of the plot moving forward. I mean, his kidnapping by Kat in the first season started, arguably, the Clash of Kings. Mm-hmm. Him being the royal advisor in season two, he took a very central role. I mean, he's always been like a very main plot. Do you think they can continue that going forward, or do you think that he might be
taking a back seat? I don't know. So they've kind of done Tyrion on the run before. They did after he got in the Battle of Blackwater. He got his face all mangled up and he was kind of relegated to a back seat a little bit, but then he kind of jumped right back into the limelight fairly quickly. So if they do it again, I feel like it's going to have to be a longer time out of the view of everyone. And I'm not looking forward to that because I do thoroughly enjoy him on the screen.
Sure. I mean, he's a solid gold character.
Yeah. So I don't know. And we'll see. I'm sure Varys is going to, like, there's nothing that I know of yet that connects Varys to this in any way. So Varys doesn't necessarily have to stay with him the whole time. He could go roaming around and doing, like, meeting with Tyrion and kind of doing some work for Tyrion, doing some work for himself. Because, like, that's a very ominous scene when he's in the throne room and Oberyn is talking to him and asking what he wants, and he just looks at the throne. I don't know how he could possibly end up on the throne, but he wants more power than he has, definitely. Sure.
And to what end? I mean, that's something I've always debated. Like, what is... what's really important to him.
Yeah, we know it's not sex.
Yeah, well, presumably. Eight,
well, he said he's never had desires for anything.
Well, he says a lot of female. Things. That's, he says a lot of things. That's true. And I don't think that we've ever had the, you know, visual confirmation that the bits are gone. Like, this could be an elaborate, yeah, you know, bait and switch.
Sure it could. I don't know. I think he has his sights set on some kind of power, much like Littlefinger does. Mm-hmm. I think they're kind of sort of kinship there.
All right.
And maybe, who knows, maybe he'll work with Littlefinger.
Well, that was one of the shocking things last year, the revelation that Littlefinger has essentially been behind every significant thing that's happened in Westeros.
Yeah.
He is the Michael Corleone of Westeros.
He's the puppet master, definitely.
So him and Varys have always had like a rivalry?
Yeah.
You're thinking that somehow they could ally, huh? Ally.
Potentially, but I don't know that they would ever trust each other, especially Varys trusting Littlefinger.
That makes the most interesting of allies.
That's what they would say.
Mildly of interesting allies.
Oh, God. speaking of Littlefinger, let's talk about him.
Sure.
Let's move on to Sansa and Littlefinger, who I'm going to take as a couple here. I don't know if they're officially a couple, but it looks
enough,
like they might
they
be.
They are at the finish line of Sansa's story as far as the books are concerned.
Okay.
So we got maybe a couple more POV chapters worth of material to deal with her, but I'm might be a little freer about speculating on her this year because I truly have no idea where they're going.
All right. That's good. That'll give you some excitement going forward in the series. So Sansa at the end of this is kind of Littlefinger's makeshift Lady of the Vale, I guess. Is that what they're called? Is that what the she's up at whatever that mountaintop castle is, the Eyrie. She's, I guess, now going to rule over that. I would assume, given her lineage,
yeah, but
that she somehow inherits that. Or, well, Robin does, but Robin's sent off to die at the end of this, essentially. Mm. I mean, Littlefinger is telling him, go out in the world, learn to fly. No, he's going to learn to die very quickly.
What is Sansa's status at the end of last season?
She's looking like a bird. I don't know.
No, I know that, but what is her? Who knows her identity?
Obviously, Littlefinger.
Uh-huh.
And the council that was at the Eyrie,
so they
know.
Okay, so they did. They
revealed that info. Yeah.
I don't know because so Peter is the Lord Paramount. He's kind of like the, I guess he would be in the Cersei spot as far as the overall, yeah. Like she's not queen, but she's acting that way until her son comes of age. Now yeah. that Tywin is dead, mm-hmm. Then, you know, she's kind of like queen. In fact, do you yeah. think that Littlefinger with the Lords of the Vale, do you think he's going to be able to work that arrangement over on them?
I think so. Hmm. I don't think these people are nearly as formidable strategically as Littlefinger.
Okay.
Especially a Littlefinger Sansa. If he's got her on his side, which it looks like he does near the end of this season, I think that tag team is going to take on anybody from the Vale. Or is that what it's called? The Vale?
The Vale, yeah.
That area?
Yeah.
Okay.
The interesting thing about the Vale is that it is one of the few areas of the kingdom that has been untouched by war. I think Dorne would
yeah,
be the other
you
area.
Yeah, basically can't get in there.
Well, not only that, but they've, you know, Kat refused to, or Kat's sister refused any calls to Banner and supports. She just stayed up in the Eyrie because she's all, you know,
yeah.
sweet Robin on her tit and make sure he's protected. So you've sure. got a fairly rich, prosperous region that is not committed any of its forces to any side of the conflict. That ain't nothing.
That's
in a war-torn
an asset
Westeros.
For Littlefinger, I'm certain.
Sure. Okay.
So it's going to be interesting there. Let's stick up in that area with Brienne and Podrick.
Okay.
I assume that Brienne is still going to be on her way to the Eyrie. I think that's her next destination now that Arya's kind of run off.
You don't think she'll go off on a try to find Arya type expedition?
Oh, I think she is, but I think that's her first stop. Like
you
if,
might
I,
as
if
well,
I'm
right?
looking for her, that's my first stop.
Hmm. What do you think is going to happen there? Who greets her at the door?
Man, I think she finds Sansa. I really think she finds Sansa there.
Uh-huh.
And that sets off some other event some other crusade across the
damn
the
fool idealistic.
Probably, yeah. All
right.
They usually
well,
are.
It is Brienne. That kind of
that's her motto. Yeah,
that's one of her like character traits. Damn fool idealistic. Okay.
And Podrick is going to be continue to be Podrick. You know,
sure. Pod the Rod, just
messing some things up, showing his competence in other areas. We'll see. But that's where I think they're going. As far as Arya is concerned, we know that Arya is headed out to Braavos on a boat right now. She handed in her iron coin thing that she was given by the faceless guy or whatever,
the
whatever his
man.
Name is.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Faceless man.
The faceless what guys of name? Braavos. They are famous throughout.
Faceless dudes of Braavos.
The Planetos for being killers.
Uh-huh. What is his name? He's got a name.
Jaqen H'ghar.
Jaqen H'ghar. Okay. Yeah, so she's on a boat on her way to Braavos. I really just have no guess where that leads. No guess. Because she's never been there. I don't think she knows anybody there. I don't even know if people would know who she is there.
Mm-hmm. But she did pay the iron coin, the iron price.
She did. That's the only that's the lead that's going to take her on the next leg of her journey, I'm certain.
Right.
But what that is, I have no idea.
All right.
Obviously, she wants to kill a giant list of people.
Sure.
So I'm sure that will guide her actions.
Uh-huh.
But I don't even know where she starts because she's not equipped.
She's not even really that good of a killer.
Anyway,
yeah,
exactly.
Like we've seen like she's partially trained as a water dancer or whatever the hell that is, a fencer essentially with her needle. But she's continually outclassed. The only way she beats people is through guile, them underestimating her.
Yeah.
But like a straight up fight, she just doesn't have the strength and training to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe she'll find one of the people on her list there and kind of begin her journey.
Okay.
Like just kind of come across that person like she did with the person who had her sword.
Sure.
I could see that. The Hound, I think, is dead.
Okay.
But who the fuck knows, really, except for people who've read the books. I'm just going on the assumption that he's dead.
Okay.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off Badass Season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret, Hush Hush. No hints, except it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
We're about 10 weeks out from House of the Dragon Season 2, and it's time to prepare for war.
Which in our case means, well, watching a lot of Hot D and reading a lot of Fire and Blood.
Each week between now and June 16th, Maester Anthony and his co-host Steve are hosting a watch of each episode of Hot D Season 1. And then me and Jim are going to host a discussion of the differences between the events on that episode and how they're recounted in George R.R. Martin's historical tome, Fire and Blood.
That's right, I've resorted to reading dragon books. God help us all. We'll see if my fresh eyes add any new insights or predictions into Season 2.
Arm yourselves with all the lore you can for the battles ahead. House of the Dragon returns June 16th, but we've got you covered until then.
Check out all of our upcoming Hot D coverage on the Hot D feed or on Bald Move Pulp, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
There's several other people. I mean, there are a lot of people who are dead. Tywin's dead.
That was interesting. On the Blu-rays, they had a 30-minute special feature where one of the executive producers sat down with everyone who died last season. The actors and talked about their art.
Did they conduct this interview in a football stadium?
No, but there was a surprising amount of people. I mean, it was a it was a very round table. I would want to say like a dozen.
Wow.
I mean, you had like, you know, guys you automatically know of, like, you know, Tywin, Charles Dance, and Joffrey. But
was the Hound in that group?
And you know, now that I think of it, the Hound was not in that group.
Oh, God damn it.
You had... what's his face from Oberyn?
Oberyn, yeah.
But then you had a lot of people you probably forgot about, like, you know, Grin, who's one of Sam and John's buddies.
Gets the arrow to the neck, yeah.
He gets he gets crushed by a giant. Is what that guy got?
What? Oh, it's a different guy who gets.
Yeah. The other guy gets there. So that guy wasn't there too. So you can't draw too many conclusions about who or who was.
Okay,
wasn't.
Because he's definitely dead.
Yeah, like I said, Ygritte was there. Shay was there. But yeah, it was a really interesting interview about when they found out, and they had some really, really funny stories between, especially about Charles Dance, because I guess everyone in fact was afraid of him on set because he's kind of got that presence. But then the guy who plays Oberon, whose name escapes me right now, who seems like a really cool dude, talked about filming the orgy scene that Tywin kind of walks in on. And I guess one of the actresses refused to wear clothes at any point, like even in like the green room scenes. And he talked about Charles waiting for his makeup in his kind of like suit and tie, reading the New York Times right next to this naked woman and being very uncomfortable about it.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's some cool stuff on there. But yeah, a lot of people died.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't know the name of Bran's friend.
Jojen.
Yeah, he died. Got a fireball to the face.
Well,
among other things.
The multi-stage, yeah.
The fireball was the final.
Like, starvation started it. A knife to the guts had him well on the way. And then, yeah.
Yep.
He had a pretty funny interview because he was interviewed in that thing, too. And he's like, he kept reading the script. And he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm weakening. But, oh, stabbed repeatedly. Oh, fuck, fireballed. Like, yeah. Molotov cocktailed.
Yeah, awesome. Jorah. No. Wait, before we go over there, to the other side of the water here, let's talk about Jaime and Cersei.
Right.
Cersei, like you said earlier, is still kind of queen regent there.
What'll exactly happen with this, because Tywin is dead and he was
the
absolute unquestioned ruler.
Yeah.
Of the Iron Throne, even though he wasn't technically the ruler. Now he's gone.
It's totally a battle for new king. I don't know his name.
Tommen.
Totally a battle for Tommen. And I think
who are the players
Margaery and Cersei.
Sure. So that was
those
the only...
Two.
Those
it
are the
was
two
Margaery, Cersei, and Tywin.
Sure.
And I thought Tywin was going to win that.
Do you think Tywin's power vacuum would open it up for a third or fourth horse in that race?
Varys. No, I think yes, it definitely does. Because like you said, he ruled with an iron fist or an iron hand, whatever you want to say. And yeah, I could see people trying to move in. But right now, it's Cersei and Margaery.
Sure.
I think Margaery has the firmer grasp on Tommen's nuts.
Inappropriate metaphor with
come
the ages,
on.
But
in
yeah,
Game
sure.
of Thrones,
no, yeah,
there I, are no inappropriate metaphors.
That's a solid point. I liked how they played that, and they got to be careful because they might end up like going too far and be like Americans level creepy.
Yeah.
But what they did with her, you know, seducing this very impressioning. And... yes. It's like I thought was just pitch perfect.
Yes, I agree. The other kind of wild card here is Jamie. I don't know what Jamie does now that Tywin is dead. I mean, obviously he's still the hand of the, not the hand of the king, the king's guard. Mm-hmm. He's going to be protecting Tommen, but I don't know what his role is here other than be the guy who stands in the throne room protecting Tommen.
I have no idea either, because this is very different from what he, you know, like there's a lot of, this is one of the points where the books diverge. What he appears to be doing in these trailers does not match up at all with what I think he's doing in the books. I have some ideas, so I'm not going to speculate, but there again, it's one of the things where I might be a little bit freer to speculate because who the hell knows?
Yeah. I do definitely want to see him continue his left-handed training with
working on the cell
sword. I don't, what is his
Bronn.
Name? Bronn. Oh God, they're all the same. I forgot about this fucking show. Yeah, Bronn.
They're all the same. How is Bronn the same?
Bronn, Bran, Braavos, Davos, like all of this fucking
Brienne.
Brienne.
Brienne is just a French pronunciation of Bronn. Brienne.
Sure. I guess we should talk about Bran now that we brought him up. Yeah.
Yeah, shredded and shredded wheat.
He found some old dude in a tree. Old dude in a tree who is pretty much the three-eyed crow, but I don't know anything else about him. Mm-hmm. Like they made it clear that he has been watching Bran the whole time.
I gotta say, that's one of the hopes I have that they recast old crusty white dude, because he is not even close to cutting it as what my vision of the three-eyed raven would be.
Yeah, I would say, if you can grow a beard as impressive as the guy in the fucking tree, they need to recast him.
Yeah, you can't just have an old man in a diaper with a scraggly white beard.
You showed me the I don't know if it was alpha artwork or something.
I think it actually came from Fantasy Flight, so it's semi-official.
Oh, okay.
For their board games and their card games.
It looked much cooler than some old dude in a tree.
Sure. But then this is the show that just recast, you know, understudio Nyquilus, bald facely.
Yeah. And
same
the
thing with Beric Dondarrion, like the mountain. Like if there's something not working, they will keep working on it until they get it right.
Yeah.
Which I, for one, admire. I hate the fact that some shows chain themselves to weak decisions. But this place is just like, you know. So I kind of wish they'd shown him a little bit more shadowy if they were thinking about doing that, or they ran out of budget or for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I was pissed watching the making of and how much time they spent making the ice zombies and skeletons look really cool and the technology they used. And I'm like, fucking Saruman the Dingy couldn't get a little love. I mean,
yeah,
what the hell?
I'm with you. It just looks like an old guy in
what
a tree.
What is Bran doing up in that tree?
He's
making Keebler cookies?
This is the part where all fantasy falls apart. Who knows what the fuck he's doing in there? It could be literally anything. I don't know what kind of magic they have.
He could be singing the song to unforge the world.
Certainly. He could be creating the halo. I don't know. Like, fucking who cares?
He could be forging the one true sword of...
Absolutely.
Brienne's twat to pull forth as a virginal, pure youth.
This old guy can look through the eyes of crows, and his kids can shoot fireballs, and they've been around for thousands of years and still look like kids. I don't fucking know, and I don't care. Honestly.
Oh, right.
I don't care. Bran's story is the wild card that I'm sure is going to be a huge part of the show. Hmm. I'm sure it's going to have a massive impact on the, you know, the White Walkers and the North and all that stuff. But ultimately, like, I can't even guess at how it's going to happen. Can't even guess.
All right.
So
that's fair enough.
All right.
So this week, our sponsor is Audible. And you can get a free preview of their services by using our affiliate link at audiblepodcast.com/GOT. And, you know, they've been a longtime sponsor of Bald Move. But one thing that's been really frustrating for me is we've never gotten a sponsorship during Game of Thrones season. Do you know why it's been frustrating?
Why is that?
Because what's pertinent to this audience is they have every one of Martin's works completely unabridged, read by Roy Dotrice, who, if you don't know, he actually had a cameo in season 2. He was the crazy pyromancer, the old pyromancer talking about wildfire with Tyrion.
Uh-huh.
And he is like the man of 1,000 voices. He does a great job recording it. But again, The only way I was able to catch up last season, because I kind of made the decision to read Feast and Dance with Dragons, is with the help of Audible. Because I'll make no bones about it. I'm a read first guy. I prefer to read. I'm a faster reader. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I was commuting and I was trying to catch up, like, I could read until my eyes crossed and I passed out at night with my Kindle, wake up and use the WhisperSync platform that Audible supports. Mm-hmm. As soon as I got in my car, it would know exactly where I left off the night before and start reading to me.
Yeah.
I get home and the cycle repeats in reverse. Like, no matter where you at, the WhisperSync technology keeps you synchronized, whether you're reading or whether you're being read to.
Yeah.
Again,
it's really cool.
Sometimes audiobooks can be a mixed bag, and I've talked about that before, but the ones for Game of Thrones are universally excellent. They're really, really good dramatic readings, and you'll be hearing some of the excerpts from that in the weeks and if you're a spoiler person, because I'm going to be pulling, instead of me reading the books mm-hmm. and the pertinent passages, I'm going to be using that. Again, all five books in unabridged format. Really talented reader who really inhabits all the characters with great, very great characterizations. I can't say enough good things about it. Jim, how did they go and get their free trial?
Again, you can go to audiblepodcast.com/GOT and you will be prompted to sign up. You just follow the instructions there and you get a free audiobook download.
And one of those audiobooks can be...
Yep. Any book you want.
Any book you want. Any book you want.
Sure. And definitely, I think that's a good suggestion for this audience. Go check out the books. I might even do that myself, honestly. Like, I said that I wouldn't read these things, but I think I might listen to them.
Well, you could probably listen for a year at this point and remain spoiler-free, because we're so far. I mean, we're almost entirely through with Feast, and, like, these books are phone book size, so...
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't go listen to, like, the latest Feast of Crows or whatever. That would
be a dance with you actually got that right. I thought you said Dance with Crows or Feast for Dragons.
Feast of Dragons. Yep. Sure. I think it sounds really cool. So audiblepodcast.com/GOT. Now we're going to cross the pond. We're going over to, no, we're not going to cross the pond yet. Sorry.
Liar.
The Dornish.
Oh, that's right. You thought Dorne.
I did.
Until like this until afternoon, you thought Dorne was across the narrow sea.
I did.
It's like the Florida of Westeros.
Okay, cool. Florida of Westeros is going to be pissed that the king's brother is dead, right? Or that they're...
So you think that they might be annoyed that their plan for vengeance on the Lannisters backfired and ended up getting their prince killed?
Very much.
All right, okay.
I think they're going to be out for blood.
One thing that you
season.
Might not notice, but was actually made clear in previous seasons is
Are you calling me a dumbass?
No. I just want to make sure everybody catches this, because this is a potentially important plot point that I don't know that they hit on all that well. But they sent Tommen's sister, Myrcella, over to Dorne as kind of like a hostage to win some kind of political alliance during the War of the Five Kings.
Yeah, I remember talking about that in last season.
Yeah. So there is... Dorne is kind of dangerous because they have a royal hostage that, you know, if Cersei cares about one thing in this world, you know, like Tyrion says, you got good cheekbones and you love your kids. Those are the two things that recommend you to the world. She loves her children. Yeah. She's not always the most rational about protecting them.
Certainly.
Dorne doesn't seem like the type of people to be fucked with.
No, not at all. I think they are... I don't know. I'm judging this solely on Oberyn. I would guess that they are a kingdom of badass spear wielding supervillains.
Mildly interesting.
So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of the Dornish people.
Me too. Dorne seems cool.
I hope they all have, not all of them, obviously all of them can have a similar flair to Oberyn. I think he was, you know, he's a prince, he's going to do what he's going to do, and he had a certain personality, but something along those lines. I want to see a similar flavor, a similar tone from the rest of the Dornish.
I also really like, because I saw a 30-minute making of this season that came out like 6 weeks ago on HBO. And they showed extensive sets from Dorne and what the exact vibe they're trying to go for. And I think it's beautiful. One of my favorite parts about the show is that all the regions have a distinct kind of culture and architecture and a way of dress. Like even, you know, the Highgarden people dress kind of like sluts. or at least that's what Marjorie's excuse has been, that, you know, that they
sure
it's warmer down there and they like to wear less clothes.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dornish people seem to be much more passionate. I think it's probably, it seems like it's modeled on Spain in particular.
Okay.
Right. Like especially the Moorish regions of it closer to the Mediterranean. Yeah. So yeah, I'm kind of excited to see more Dorne too. Dorne is the one, you know, the one kingdom that didn't get conquered by Aegon and his big badass dragons. So that's sure. That means something.
They fought him off, as a matter of fact, right?
Fought with guerrilla tactics. Got brought into fold by a marriage alliance, if I recall correctly.
Hmm. Okay. Now let's go across the pond here to let's start with Jorah because he's the easiest to talk about. He's in the wind. He got found out as being a spy for Robert Baratheon.
I will never hear of him again.
Come on. That is not Game of Thrones. It's not the show I know.
He's going to show up at the wall, fight Jon for his sword back.
What I'm not totally sure of, although I have a guess, I think he's coming back to try to prove his worth, not for any kind of revenge or anything like that. I think when he does come back, it will be...
Well,
to try to redeem himself.
What? How do you see? Do you have any ideas of how that might happen?
I really don't. No, because I don't know what he can do. I mean, the only things we've seen from Essos at this point are kind of in the domain of Daenerys.
Right.
I mean, she basically owns half of that landmass, as far as I can tell.
She definitely owns a lot of important trading centers. Now, there were talks about rebellions, I believe, and some of the cities that she left behind.
Yeah.
So, I kind of want to hear what you think or what your hopes and fears are for Dany. Because I think you're representative of a lot of show viewers in this respect.
I think Dany's having a hard time figuring out how to lead these people. Now that she's got them under her wings, she's having a hard time figuring out how to be just, how to be fair, but also how to be strong.
Because you got that Targaryen blood that wants to win everything with fire and blood. She's and got dragon scream blood. About where my I watched a lot of season two this weekend because that was the part there on the marathon, and forgot how much of her season two plot was just standing around screaming about her dragons. So do you see...
That's still a problem.
Do you see the marine plot as essentially being training wheels for Westeros?
Yeah. Basically,
like a crucible, a personal crucible for her.
I mean, I fully believe, I think I've said this on the podcast before, that Daenerys is going to be the one to take the throne eventually. Mm. She seems to be her and Stannis seem to be in the most conducive positions to taking the throne.
Why do you say Stannis? Because he got his ass kicked and fled up to the north beyond the wall at this point.
Yeah, but if he teams up with Mance Rayder and the Wildlings, he's got a fucking massive army.
Hmm, interesting. So let's go to Dany. What's your personal feeling about... what's your personal interest level with her and Meereen?
It's significant.
Okay.
And I don't know if I felt this way last season, like at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
She was kind of just doing the same thing over again, but this time we actually saw some of the consequences and the aftermath of that. It wasn't just she goes in, liberates, and everybody's happy.
I mean, the interesting thing about this is that she's got, thanks to Dario Nyquilus, she's got ships. I think like 100 ships were captured, they mentioned last year.
Something
she's
like that.
She's got the army.
Yeah.
She's got the dragon. Well, she doesn't got the dragon.
No.
The dragons are the real
Dragos
wild card.
Or whatever his name is. Uh-huh. Drogon, which is the least inventive name for a dragon I've ever heard, is kind of out on his own doing, like, burning up the countryside, killing goats and children. And
pretty much. And the other two are chained in the pits below. So, yeah.
So Drogon is a wild card.
Hmm.
Like, I don't even know how she controls him at this point.
Can anyone control? I mean, that's the thing about...
I'm not sure. If she
Dany
can't,
being
no one can.
A single mother, not really knowing... She's essentially teen mom.
Yes.
Of the MTV era of Westeros. Uh-huh. And Drogon might have some emotional difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
Some respect for authority issues.
I think so. And if she can't control him, I don't think anyone can. Being the mother of dragons seems to put you in the best position to control dragons.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be bad news over there.
Okay.
Could be bad news. I mean, I've seen, you know, previews that look like Marine could fall somehow in some kind of rebellion like we talked about. Yeah. With that statue coming down off the top of the pyramid.
Right.
That could also be a symbolic gesture. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's Saddam like, Hussein here, look at in. Yeah, look at the visage of your oppressors. We're going to pull it down.
Sure. Danny's all about breaker of chains, too, not just Mother Dragon with her.
And wheels. She wants to break it all. Fuck wheels, right. Fuck chains.
Fuck any simple inclined planes. Bring them out. We're breaking them. What is that, a screw? What is that, a wedge? Get it out of here. No simple machines in my kingdom.
Exactly. Don't even think about making a fulcrum. Fuck you.
Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if Very Special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd. You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk Podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
So I'm still interested in what's happening over there, and I think it's not going to be smooth sailing by any means. And especially if Jorah comes back vindictive in some sort of way, it could be even worse. Mm-hmm. Although I don't see that happening.
Right.
He's too head over heels for her to be offended that she cast him out over something that she kind of should have cast him out for, you know?
Sure.
He's got to be a little understanding. I don't know. And that's about it. As far as the characters, surprisingly, in Game of Thrones. Although, I mean, it's not. We've got Roose Bolton and yep. Ramsay, who are now leaders of the North.
And also, like, their relationship as father and son is sure. super interesting to me. Because I don't... How much of Ramsay's stuff is sanctioned by Roose? I mean, because, you know, the Boltons are all skin flayers, right? They're kind of seen as the... crazy extreme northerners, which, you know, keep in mind that almost all of Westeros sees the Northmen as kind of crazy anyway, and they're like the crazy.
Yeah.
I'm very interested in seeing what their dynamic is like.
It changed drastically at the end of last season, because when Roose comes in and he wants to kind of see what Ramsay has been up to there, he's very doubting of mm-hmm. this whole plan. And then when it turns out to work mm-hmm. and he takes Mo Cailin, due to, you know, Reek being created, he makes him a part of the family.
Gives him the everything the light touches Simba speech.
Yeah, pretty much. 700 miles that way, 100 miles that way.
That's a great scene, too. That's why where their on-location shit really pays off.
Absolutely. So I think their relationship has changed in a good way. There's a lot more trust there than there was before. Now, I don't know if he's going to continue to earn and deserve that trust. I could see Ramsay being as fucked up as he is, doing something that is just as crazy as Reek and doesn't work, and Roos gets pissed. But I don't know.
What do you think about Jon Snow? He's the other one we haven't really talked about. We talked about Stannis and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Jon Snow is, you know, the milquetoast child of the Stark family.
Well, he's a bastard.
Well, okay, so he's slightly behind Sansa in that regard. He's done a lot more than Sansa at this point. He's no Robb Stark, although he's turning into one, I feel like. He's become a leader up at the Wall, even though he was faced with, what's his name? Alistair Thorne?
Yeah.
And being a total asshole and not wanting to do anything.
And the guy, his name escapes me, who used to be the captain of the Gold Cloaks. His lickspittle toady friend.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. His yes man. I don't know his name. Anyway, he has earned a lot of respect up there. And I think if Alistair, in fact, lives beyond that battle, which I'm still not sure of, he's going to get a lot more respect.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to... That's my guess.
I mean, there's... So it's Janos Slynt. That's who I was thinking of.
Okay.
There's respect. So it seems like he's got respect of a certain number of the actual men of the Night's Watch,
yes.
But a lot of the leadership seem to be very skeptical. And what do you think, Stannis Demanis thinks of him?
I don't know.
I mean, having a king come in and save your ass when you're supposed to be a very neutral, you're supposed to be the Switzerland of West. You're supposed to not take a part in any of the affairs of kings and all that stuff like that. I think that's super interesting, too. Plus, you've got a lot of meddlers up there. You got Stannis's queen, who's crazy. You got Melisandre, who is also crazy and working for very mysterious ends with mysterious arcane powers.
I think very dangerous. Yeah. I don't even know. Does she actually do magic? Like, can she do what you would consider magic?
You saw a shadow got shit out of her vagina, man. That is
magical. I did, but she's got potions, dude. You put some potions up there, who knows what happens?
That's not a Summer's Eve product, as far as I can tell. The shadow baby that leaves you fresh and clean.
You've never seen that on the shelves?
No. There's no Shadow's Eve douche that you can...
No, she's probably magical. Most likely. I just don't know how far her magic extends, how powerful
it is. Let me ask you this. Are you a believer in the leech? You know, Stannis used royal blood to burn those leeches, and then presto change. I'm pretty sure...
Robb's did.
All of them, except for the Greyjoy, the Theon's dad, Balin. I'm pretty sure all of them are dead at this point. So is that happenstance luck? Is that black... Eve magic? What is?
I chalk that up to luck, but certainly Stannis doesn't. Mm-hmm. He said as much, and I think Davos has kind of bought into it a little bit too.
And Davos thought there was a line somewhere. Davos saw some freaky deaky shit.
Yeah,
that can make like if I saw. I mean, you know, I don't believe in magic, but if I saw a shadow skeleton crawl out of a woman's vagina, I would probably open my mind a bit or seek psychiatric counseling. One, two.
Or both. I don't know, man. I don't know. She's another wild card. I don't know what her motives are. I don't know what her powers are. She's kind of a mixture of Bran and... I kind of know the motives of most other people. Like Bran and Varys, I guess. Like, I don't know what she can do, and I don't know why she would do it.
All right.
So, all I know is she has the vice grip on Stannis.
Gotcha.
That is not likely to break anytime soon.
What do you think about Rickon?
Who the fuck is that?
Rickon is the youngest Stark child.
Is he still alive?
He last went off with Osha.
Who the fuck is that?
Osha is, well, I'd say Nymphadora Tonks, except you've never seen fucking Harry Potter. She's the wildling girl that kind of got attached to Stark camp, and she was with Hodor and Bran, and then they split. And she was going to take him off, I think, to the Karstarks, or maybe to the shit.
I don't remember any of this. Well, this wasn't last season, was it?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it was a season before. I've kind of lost track.
It's got to be season three. I don't remember anything about this.
The Umbers. I think he dispatched her to the Umbers, the Great Johns. You know, the guy who got his fingers bit off by.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. I think that's
I don't know anything about that. Sorry.
Any theories about him kicking around?
I think that's about it.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like Jon Snow and Mance Rayder and Stannis all have to go south because that's what Mance wants to do, and Mance has a massive army, and I think Stannis would want to put that to use.
So you think it's a done deal, Northern...
Not completely.
The Wildlings and the Night's Watch and the Stannis men.
I think it's going to take some negotiation, but I think that's where it's going. I can't... Like, all Mance wants is to get south of the Wall, right?
Yes.
Be protected from the winter that's coming.
But all Stannis wants is for everyone to kneel before him. That's the central crux of this, is that Mance has made his bones like, we're not kneelers. That's our identity.
Yes.
So how do you... How do you get that kind of political compromise?
Jon Snow.
Especially since...
Jon Snow barters that peace, brokers that peace.
Stannis thinks he's a fucking god. Or I don't know if he does think that, but certainly a lot of his men do. They think he's got the Lord's blessing.
I've never got that impression.
Well, they think he's the chosen one. He's the Ahura High or whatever, Azor Ahai, the Lord of the Light.
Okay.
And he's got that. The Lord of Light's blessing. I mean, there's... You can never, with religion in the mix, you can never, you know, I don't know if you saw the Scientology doctrine, but shit can get crazy when you put religion in the mix.
Yeah. You can have people believing in Xenu.
Yep.
Who knew? All right. That's it.
See, what they need to do is convert the Iron Bank of Braavos to Stanology and then, you know, give for 50,000 iron pieces or gold dragons, they can get an auditing with Melisandre.
There you go.
And she'll give a
vague prophecy
for the future. I mean,
the Lannisters should just start that up, right? Pay back their debt, you know, raise money from the peasants. And
yeah, I thought that's another thing that this show dropped on us, that the Lannisters are effectively broke.
Yes.
And no one knows.
Very much in debt. And now they don't have anybody who, good God, Tywin's gone, Tyrion's gone. The people holding this empire, this kingdom together are gone. Mm-hmm. The Lannisters are in serious trouble.
Yeah,
both financially and... militarily.
Poor Westeros can't catch a break. Because say what you will, Tywin on the Iron Throne, the trains would run on time.
Yeah.
The crops would be harvested. And also, the other thing is, winter's fucking coming. And this whole...
Wait, what? What's this winter you speak of?
This whole country is been sacked by war. They made a big point last year of people not having time to get their crops in.
The Martells.
Not having time to plant the last crops.
The Martells are the
breadbasket of Westeros.
Yeah, how are they doing?
Well, I don't know
at this point, because I think that was the whole point of joining Margaery with Joffrey, right?
If you believe the you know, Lady Olenna, the Queen of Thorns, not a huge Lannister fan.
Sure,
and they're also an ambitious, power hungry family too. And this is a power vacuum, and their daughter has the king by the balls, as you say.
Yeah,
the future king. I don't know. That's what Westeros does. So that's what Game of Thrones does so well. It's essentially House of Cards with dragons and shadow babies.
Sure, I can do with less shadow.
Or as we'd say, season four of House of Cards.
All right, I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you'd have some feedback on our previews, you can send it in to gameofthrones@baldmove.com. We might do maybe if we get more feedback as a result of this, we might do another non spoiler follow up. In the spoiler preview next week, I could see us doing 15, 20 minutes of that. So it's not too late. GameofThrones@baldmove.com. We have a new forum this year, which will be a lot nicer than the Facebook threads we were trying to rock last year, because there was just, I'd fucking delete shit all the time. Well-meaning people putting book spoilers and whatnot. If you want to be protected from that, go to our forums, because I'm going to have a non-spoiler and spoiler thread for each episode.
Okay.
So you can go in there and be spoiler free. There's spoiler tags. There's a lot more protections in place on forums.baldmove.com. And you can follow our release schedule on facebook.com/baldmove and on Twitter @baldmove.
Really looking forward to this season.
Yeah.
I feel like at this point I have my head around the Game of Thrones universe to a degree that makes me really enjoy it.
I'm nervous.
I can see some of the wheels turning.
Sure.
Before they turn, unlike previous seasons where I was just there for the ride, right, gripping the side of the thing, hoping I didn't fall off.
Right. No, I'm nervous. I've got a nervous energy about this season that I haven't had since probably the first season. Like, you know, this is the first time they're going kind of off the map. They're making big changes. They had just the barest glimmer of stuff that us book readers had no idea about when they went way up north and we saw the birth of a other, we think. You know, and if I get 20% more of that, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, yeah. I'm pretty excited to see. And I don't know. They went a lot further in last season. Like, I don't know how much they're going, like, or what episode are they going to get completely off of Dance with Dragons? Or is it going to be where some of them go all the way dance to the end of the season? You got some threads that start making up stuff. I'm very curious and leery about how people are going to respond. You know, there's a really some awesome fan friendly moments coming up if they go by the books.
Okay.
But also, like, these last few seasons seem to be just getting more and more intense and dramatic and awesome. And like last season we talked about, like, we had a finale every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know about this season if they're going to be able to keep that momentum going.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure that's exciting for
and
you.
Will,
not knowing
will the
exactly.
6 million people watching and 18 million people pirating, you know, how will they react to a change in pace?
Yeah.
Or will the double D's just be like, fuck it, we're going to go full throttle into the new stuff? I'm Could very be. Curious. Very curious.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with a potentially non-spoilery and definitely spoilery section.
Yep.
Leading up to Game of Thrones in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Until then, I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron. See ya.